And welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Steve Zwemke. Filmmaker Jennifer Brea was a Harvard PhD student soon to be engaged when she was struck down by a mysterious fever that left her bedridden. As her illness progressed, doctors insisted it was all in her head. That's when Jennifer began a video diary on her phone that eventually became the powerful and intimate documentary Unrest. Once Jennifer was diagnosed with myalgic encephalomyelitis, commonly known as chronic fatigue syndrome, she and her new husband Omar were left to grapple with how to shape a future together in the face of a lifelong illness. Refusing to accept the limitations of life in bed, Jennifer has embarked on an online voyage around the world where she finds a hidden community of millions who have disappeared from their own lives, confined to their homes and bedrooms by ME. Jennifer Brea is an independent documentary filmmaker based in Los Angeles. Her feature documentary, Unrest, premiered at last year's Sundance Film Festival, where it won a special jury prize. An activist for invisible disabilities and chronic illness, she co-founded a global advocacy network, MeAction, with the hashtag MeAction, and is a TED Talker. You can watch Unrest, by the way, tonight on Independent Lens. It airs tonight at 8 Central, 7 Mountain on SDPB. And we're honored to have the filmmaker join us today on In the Moment. Jennifer Brea, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking the time today. I was looking at your Twitter feed last night, and you wrote, "Feeling super nervous, butterflies about tomorrow. It's entirely rational, and yet I have no idea why." Is that in anticipation of tonight's PBS premiere?
It is. You know, we've been taking the film all across the country and around the world, really since January when we premiered at Sundance, showing in theaters and doing community screenings. But it's been, you know, tens of thousands of people who've seen it. And now tonight it'll be, over a million. And so it's exciting, but I just am feeling really, thrilled about it and also a little bit nervous.
Yeah, getting ready for lots of reaction, I'm sure. You loved to travel before your struggles with myalgic encephalomyelitis began. What are some of the places you were able to enjoy when you were traveling?
Before I had ME, which is, more commonly known as chronic fatigue syndrome, I grew up in Florida and didn't travel much, but, was always fascinated by foreign languages and foreign cultures. And so we knew that I wanted that to be a part of my life when I grew up. And so I moved to China after college and lived in Beijing for a few years and traveled all across Asia, to Japan, to India, and spent a lot of time traveling in West and East Africa as well.
Take us to the beginning when you notice that you're having difficulty with fatigue and with your health.
So this all started for me after a very high fever. At its highest, it was 104.7 degrees, and I hadn't had a fever that high since I was a child. For a lot of people, it begins that way. For 80% of people, remember having some type of infection. And, I thought it was just a really bad case of the flu. But when I recovered, in fact, the day that the fever broke, I got up out of bed and, walked across the room to try to get to the bathroom and walked. I was so dizzy, I walked straight into the door frame. And I had to sort of stay in bed and had a hard time getting about because I was just kind of dizzy for days. And I went to see my doctor and said, something's going wrong. I'm really dizzy. And he looked at my labs and said, your white blood cell count is elevated. You had an infection, but everything's fine. So I kind of went back to my life. And over the course of the next 18 months, I started getting infection after infection after infection. And I had sinus infections. I had sore throats. I was sick almost every month. And every time I would get sick, no matter how minor it was, I would immediately start to feel really dizzy. And so I started to sort of say, I think something's wrong with my immune system. And he told me, because my labs kept coming back normal, that's impossible. You're absolutely fine. Until finally I got so ill that I ended up completely bedridden and with all of these neurological symptoms and including this hallmark symptom of the disease called post-exertional malaise or PEM, which is basically something that I didn't understand at the time, but this dynamic where, no matter how normal I was feeling or how badly I was feeling, if I pushed myself past some invisible limits, all of my symptoms would get worse, and I would basically crash and end up in bed for days, weeks, and eventually months.
Yeah, for those that haven't had the chance to know anybody that suffers from ME or chronic fatigue syndrome, it's interesting to watch, because at one point you'll feel like lying down, or you know, just like you say, being bedridden and just totally fatigued. Is there physical pain that goes along with that?
So the thing that kind of keeps me and keeps patients with this, you know, having that feeling of needing to lie down or needing to use a wheelchair, it's actually many different things. It's the fatigue, but it's also muscle weakness, mm-hmm. and it's also something called orthostatic intolerance, which basically means if you stand up, either your heart rate will go up or mm-hmm. your blood pressure will drop as your blood kind of pulls at your feet. And doctors and scientists think that this is actually a kind of neurological issue where, for whatever reason, you are no longer able to tell your heart to pump, you know, enough blood to your brain. And so that's what causes the dizziness. And so there's multiple reasons that, you know, make it very hard for people to stand or to walk. But for me, it was sort of all of those issues. And I was really lucky in that I didn't have a lot of pain. I know other people who have an extraordinary amount of pain. My pain was more neuropathic, which meant that it would kind of come and go and kind of wander around the body. And you know, but it was more for me the thing that isn't exactly pain, but feels very similar, which was the sensitivity. So I would have intense sensitivity to sound, where you know, my husband would be walking in socks downstairs and across the, you know, on the other side of the house, and I could hear him. I could hear everything, and the you know, the sound, the slightest sounds were excruciatingly painful. And a lot of patients who have the same really significant pain in response to light or to touch.
You had a long process in trying to find the correct diagnosis, and in one point in the film, Unrest, your husband Omar makes the comment, "If you say too little, they can't help you, and if you say too much, they think you're a mental patient." That, like, it really seems to sum up the difficulty you had in going from doctor to doctor and getting a diagnosis and the help you needed.
You know, I think I spent a lot of time being frustrated and later angry, and in some ways afraid of doctors through this experience. And I think a lot of people dealing with this condition or other complex chronic conditions have those feelings. And, you know, over time, what I realized is that the core of the issue is that doctors are not taught about this condition at all in medical schools. It's taught very, very rarely. And so they don't, you know, when they have these symptoms that are actually quite classic and easy to recognize, because they haven't been taught how to recognize the pattern, they have no idea what's going on. And so not knowing what is going on, not being able to diagnose the patient, the sort of next step that they often take is, well, what is happening to you is impossible. Or it's in some ways your fault. And that was a lot of kind of the undertone of what I was getting. And so the not saying too much is that, you know, I started to learn that if I shared my symptoms, I would be told, well, that can't happen, or I've never heard of that before. And so I started to just, you know, withhold information and only tell the things that I thought they would believe or understand in order to try to get some help. And I think eventually I came to the conclusion that I wasn't going to find help in the mainstream medical system, and started to go online and seek out, you know, answers for myself, and found this huge community of patients online, many of whom had gotten sick in their 20s and 30s, as I did, but, you know, in the 80s and 90s, and who 20, 30 years later were still homebound, still bedridden, without any access to treatment or care.
And I saw your appearance on Megyn Kelly's program on NBC, where Dr. Natalie Azar was on with you, and she said ME is underdiagnosed. And with that said, it sounds like some of the work you're doing now as an activist in reaching out to people around the globe through Skype, through Twitter, through Facebook, it sounds like you're kind of helping those people that maybe weren't willing to say something, or just, you know, were not knowing where to go and what to do?
So Natalie Azar, as you mentioned, she's a rheumatologist at NYU, and she got on national television and said, "I am so ashamed." And it was the most generous thing she could possibly say, because, you know, what she meant by that was, "I just had no idea." And as a rheumatologist, I was seeing all of these patients, but I hadn't learned in medical school what I was supposed to do. And so I wasn't doing my job. And she, read about the new report from the Institute of Medicine, which has come up with new diagnostic criteria. So if you happen to be a doctor listening, or someone who thinks might have this, there is a new diagnostic criteria. And there's actually an extraordinary amount of science that's been done in the last 5 years. It just hasn't really been translated yet into medical education or clinical care. And so the word's not getting out there. And that's really what we're trying to do with this film Unrest, and also with this movement that we're building. We have an online community on Facebook, on Twitter, and also through my organization, ME Action, which is at meaction.net. And we're really trying to offer patients support, help them to learn from each other, to find specialists. There are specialists that do exist around the country, and also to really try to grow a movement of patients and caregivers and allies and doctors and scientists to better, to educate the public and better understand how to treat and hopefully eventually cure this disease.
Yeah. Our guest is Jennifer Brea, a filmmaker and a person that suffers from myalgic encephalomyelitis or chronic fatigue syndrome, which it is known as well. Her film Unrest can be seen tonight on SDPB during Independent Lens, and that's at 8 o'clock Central this evening, 7 o'clock Mountain. Talking again about the support networks that people are building and which you have been so involved in by going online and visiting with people on all of the social media, has that been able to help a lot of people with depression? Because I know depression is a major issue here when somebody has ME and are bedridden and they can't take part in the things they would love to be taking part of in their lives. Is it helping with depression with some of these people and helping them get through?
That's a really hard question to answer in some ways, because this is the first time in my life that I've been a part of a community where there is such an issue of isolation and of suicide. And so we lost someone yesterday. Mm-hmm. And this happens, it's now the sort of thing where every couple of weeks there's someone that I knew online that we lose. Many of these patients are actually not depressed. And they'll say, very lucidly, I am motivated. I want to live. I want to do all of these things. I don't have any of the symptoms of depression, but the pain is unbearable. And so is the knowledge that, the research isn't happening. This disease has been grossly underfunded by the government for decades. And that's a large part of the reason why we don't have the care and the treatment that we need. And so I think a lot of patients aren't depressed, but depression is very common. It's really hard when you can't do the things that you used to be able to do, and frequently the people closest to you disbelieve you, or they don't understand how to support you. And so you can end up very isolated, have a very hard time getting disability or social security benefits. And so a lot of people also end up in very deep poverty or homeless as a result, because they can't work anymore. So there are a lot of really deep social issues that increase the risk of depression and suicide. And I think, it's not, connecting with other people isn't enough to really tackle those problems. But what we are trying to do is build resources in the form of support groups and to try to work with access to, sort of suicide hotlines and other ways to try to figure out really help how to get people that care and support. But one of the things that I have found and learned in my journey is that, becoming disabled or having an illness, it doesn't have to be the end. And it is a change. It is sort of moving away from life as you knew it. But I have found, I still spend almost all of my time in bed. But I have found so much hope and so much friendship and so much connection and so much meaning in my filmmaking, in the art, and in connecting with all of these other people. And I think, you know, we all can make that choice to try to reach out and, you know, and transform this experience. And so if you, you know, whatever you might be grappling with, whether it's this condition or another one, I think it is possible. And I've seen so many people find ways to live a good life in spite of severe disability.
Yeah, we're out of time. Jennifer Brea, our guest, and you can see her film Unrest. It documents her struggles with ME. It's tonight on SDPB TV, 8 Central, 7 Mountain on Independent Lens. Jennifer, we wish you the very best, and we thank you so much for your time today on In the Moment.
Thank you so much for having me.